This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening. This is the evening edition. Caroline and Uma with you. Now, in a follow-up to our story, which we did earlier this evening, where we were talking about modern-day slavery, we've got the folk from Project Liberate here with us. They recently had an anti-slavery workshop where they talked about different forms of modern-day slavery and what young people can do about the everyday human rights violations that take place all around us, right under our very noses, and we pay absolutely no attention to it. We've got Sushen with us, who founded Project Liberate, as well as Ashwini, who is 18 and was one of the project, the workshop participants, right? You're a pre-university student at Taylor's College, yeah?
Yeah, soon to be.
Fantastic. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So, ladies, or Sushen, can you tell us briefly about Project Liberate? When you founded it, what's it all about?
Okay, so Project Liberate is a youth-based nonprofit organization that aims to fight against human trafficking. And basically, what we do is we raise awareness on human trafficking issues in Malaysia as well as internationally to the younger generation and what they can do to fight against the issue or to prevent it from happening to people around us.
All right, so what was it that inspired Project Liberate to begin with?
Basically, I watched a video that was presented by MTV Exit. Mm-hmm. So this video was about this little girl. She was trafficked by her parents at the age of 5 years old, and she was sold to a brothel.
At the age of five?
Yeah.
Right.
So that was pretty scary to me. I didn't really know what human trafficking was at that point, but I knew that I wanted to take up that responsibility to, you know, raise awareness on what the issue is about and why is it happening in our society at this time.
Right. I read a little bit about the project, and so in that story, you know, and one of the I think the big things to do is to try and get Malaysians to care about it. As Uma correctly mentioned a little earlier, it's one of the things that goes on all around us. We pretend not to see, we pretend not to care. And you said pretty much the same thing in your story on your website. You said that you didn't feel as though it was your responsibility, and then later you changed your mind. Tell us about that.
Well, I guess, like, human trafficking is such a big issue. And it is an issue that is concerned, probably people would be thinking about, it is a concern that should be carried out by the authorities or the government organizations. Oftentimes, we don't feel that it's our responsibility because there is really nothing much that we can do about it. You know, if you think about this way, what happens if you spot like a human trafficking situation? What do you do? You know, people are not aware about these kind of things that they would encounter, so they wouldn't feel that it's their responsibility to, you know, counter against this kind of situation.
But you're right, they don't know what to do, right? Do you go to the police? Do you go to the immigration? I mean, they don't know who to call. Do you call an NGO?
Yeah, I think they don't know who to call. And I think for the large part, we don't know how to recognize it as well.
And I think that's one of the biggest issues as well. Before we get into how to recognize it, Ashwini, talk to us about your story and how you became involved with Project Liberate.
Well, I always knew human trafficking was a serious problem. It was a global issue. You know, I would watch documentaries, movies on it, and I never knew that I would be given an opportunity to actually get involved in it until I saw, I read about Sushen's conference that she was holding. I was really impressed to see that a group of 20-something-year-olds were organizing their own international conference about the dangers of human trafficking and how to combat it, you know. So I was really intrigued, and I really wanted to find out more about what I could do.
Right. And Sushen, talk to us about then how do you spot it? Because, you know, it's 25 minutes in that direction towards Chow Kit, and you will see horrific things.
Yeah.
Right. So how does someone recognize when human trafficking is taking place?
Well, basically, there's a lot of ways for you to recognize a human trafficking victim. So, you know, for example, if you're talking about sex exploitation, the girl is always with someone, or you know, you see bruises around her, and if she can't look to you in the eyes. But all these kind of indications is very vague. Like, you know, you can say that she's being trafficked, or you might not think that she's being trafficked, but if you think that a situation is suspicious to you, just give a call to the hotline number. Yeah, I think that's, you know.
Yeah, I think in one of the things in watching one of those videos by MTV, the big thing that came across is it does happen everywhere. You don't have to wait to see bruises on somebody's body.
No, you're
you
right.
Don't have to wait to see whether she's with. It could be happening in your very own home.
Yeah.
Where human trafficking is concerned, you know, we have a lot of domestic workers who go through the same mill. And I mean, how many of us actually stop, you know, take a breather and take the trouble to find out where she's come from and how she's arrived here.
You mean how many of us move beyond our usual boîte de Nola? Oh. Right. So, guys, you've got a pretty impressive track record. I mean, today, Project Liberate has 30 members. You've organized 10 big events.
Yeah.
Talk to us about these events, right, and the scale of which we're, they took place.
Do you want me to walk through you?
You don't have to go through all 10. Tell us about some of your most, I guess, proud events. Right?
Okay. I guess it has to... one of our first event would be the celebrity photo shoot, where we had DJ Goldfish, Amber Chia, and we had all the local celebrities to come and support us by doing a photo shoot with us. And this photo shoot was taking place with them holding up signs on, you know, human trafficking facts that the public should know. That was one of our events. And another event would be the Freedom Festival, where we had NBA envoys to come over to support the cause itself. And in that festival, it is like a arts and music festival where they are able to learn about human trafficking through arts and music itself. So it's something that the younger generation can relate to.
Right. So in getting the message out, and that's very, very important, are there any measures you use to track to see whether or not the event has been successful? I mean, how do you measure that?
Well, there are tools that were given by IOMX, which is one of the organizations that we have worked with just recently. So they have this sheet where we are able to measure with how many people that have attended the event, and what kind of messages do we send across, and how did it go through, and all these kind of things. Right. So we measure it through that way. Yeah.
Right. Ashwini, I guess one of the functions of this workshop was to... well, get regular Malaysians and train them in the ways of advocacy, right? Mm-hmm. So how much did you, well, how much did you know before? How much didn't you know before? And how much, and then how well equipped are you now?
Yeah, I mean, how did you start?
Yeah, I mean, I think they did a great job. Before coming, I mean, I roughly knew about human trafficking, not too much of details. And so after going for this conference, they have equipped me with lots of knowledge about what it truly is, how do you, you know, what are the kinds of human trafficking out there, how does it happen, who is involved, and all this kind of information. At the same time, although we were discussing such complex matter, it never became too serious or too gloomy. They always try to make it more energetic and lively, because they were dealing with youths in the end of the day. Before coming, I guess I never knew what part I could play. And now after coming, the one great thing I would like to admit about this workshop is they not just provided us with information about human trafficking, but they also gave us a platform and an opportunity to make use of that information and to truly raise awareness amongst our communities, no matter where we are.
No, that's very important, right? I mean, a lot of people go for these workshops and conferences, and then after 3 days, everyone just goes back to their lives and forgets it ever happened,
yeah.
Right? After this, we're going to be asking Sushen about this connection between human trafficking and modern-day slavery. But first, tell me what's on your mind, Alalas, on BFM 89.9. This is the evening edition, Caroline and Uma with you. It's always great when we have young people on the show who are doing good things to change the world. We've got Sushen with us, who founded Project Liberate, as well as Ashwini, who's 18 years old and one of the workshop participants. Now, Project Liberate is actually an anti-slavery, anti-human trafficking. Would you call yourselves an NGO?
Advocacy
group?
NGO. We are registered as an NGO.
Oh, there you go. NGO it is then, right? And you know, this is something that started by a whole bunch of 20-somethings. It's great work you guys are doing. But, you know, talking about human trafficking and modern-day slavery, mm-hmm. I've always felt that the term slavery is a lot better term to use because I think it slaps people awake, right? Mm. Human trafficking is almost such a soft phrase. Mm. But when you hear the word slave, you're like, oh.
You can't couch it in anything.
That's bad, right? Yeah. Exactly. But Sushin, talk to us about, I guess, how it works. You know, this idea of outsourcing labor, for example, mm-hmm. is something that we often hear about, but we're not necessarily aware of these implications of trading people that happens in Malaysia, right?
Okay, so, you know, you have migrant workers that's coming into Malaysia working and stuff like that. For us to be identifying how can you differentiate migrant workers and human trafficking victims or modern day slaves would be, you know, when you're a victim of modern day slavery, oftentimes they are tricked into the country. They don't know what they are going up against, and also they don't get paid, and oftentimes they feel that they cannot leave the situation because they are being threatened.
They're being threatened. Some of them don't know their rights
yes.
to begin with.
Yeah. As for, you know, migrant workers, they come in here and they sometimes still have their passport. They can, you know, work somewhere else and, you know, all these kind of things. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, sometimes they come in legitimately.
Yeah.
They come in,
yeah.
you know, voluntarily, but then yes. they end up, in involuntary servitude, right? So
yes.
talk to us about how that happens.
Sorry.
The shift between someone who comes in voluntary for real, you know, real economic migrants and somehow uh-huh. they get tricked into, slavery while they're here.
Oftentimes, the migrant workers that come into Malaysia, they are promised a certain job. So, for example, if I am someone from another country that's coming into Malaysia to work for a family that needs like a maid or like a domestic worker, so I go into the country knowing that I will be with this family, and the moment I arrive in the airport, I am being brought to somewhere else where it is not where it's promised, and that often happens because these people are very vulnerable. They are in need of money, and that's why they fall prey into these kind of situations.
Yeah, I mean, these stories are very much true, and we see them in the papers from time to time.
Yeah.
You know, people looking for a better job elsewhere, and then being tricked by agents, you know, for say the transport fee that it took them to get here, 5 months' salary of doing a job that they did not agree to do,
yeah.
and then you're stuck in it and you can't come out.
And of course, you know, they take your passports. They make you, they don't even give you, you know, you don't even get a percentage of your salary sometimes, right? Mm. You're just getting given food and lodging and that's about it.
Sometimes yeah. no food as
sometimes
well.
No food as
and
well.
And
sorry,
these can go on, I believe that this can go on for a long period of time. I saw the story about how a man from Cambodia, I believe, was trafficked here, stuck on a fishing boat for 3 years before he escaped.
Wow. Yeah. Mm. So, we carry
yeah.
on.
I guess it's very easy for these traffickers to go into this business because it's such a lucrative business. You can use the worker over and over again until they die. But, you know, if you're going into the business of, let's say, drug trafficking, once you have sold your drugs and that's it, like, you know, you can't get back your...
Well, your investment, if you
yeah.
will, in inverted commas, right? Yeah. So, Ashwini, very quickly, you're also a young roving reporter with The Star and Bratz, right? So, I'm assuming this must also help you in your journalistic endeavors.
Yeah, because I'm actually planning to write a report on the conference I just went to. It's just needing the approval of my editor. So I think by going to conferences like this. us as youth, we don't just attend these conferences. We have to later share them on social media or through, you know, like blogging, maybe writing articles, because we need to get the word out there. I think that's very important. It's not just about gaining the knowledge, it's also about sharing it to other people.
Right. When we come back, we're going to be talking about goals of advocacy as well as some of the content at these workshops. You Only Live Twice, The Strokes, coming up on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9. Good evening. This is the Evening Edition. Caroline and Uma with you. We're talking about human trafficking today with the folks from Project Liberate. We've got Sushin, who founded the project, as well as Ashwini, who's 18 and one of the workshop participants from a workshop they recently conducted to promote advocacy. Right. Yeah. So, Sushin, let's talk about the workshop content. How long is the workshop? What kind of content do you provide to get young people excited, interested? I mean, Ashwini mentioned earlier that, you know, it's not all dour and miserable, because, you know, there's got to be an element of hope, I guess, right?
So it's a 4 days, 3 nights workshop. The workshop held place in One World Hotel. And in the workshop itself, we have elements like panel discussions, and we have group discussions as well, where they discuss among themselves about what they think about what human trafficking is. We have, you know, Amazing Race on the third day as well, and they did a lot of brainstorming activities and physical activities, more like it wasn't like the typical workshop that you would go to where you have to attend lectures and, you know, speeches all the time, because when designing the whole workshop for this human trafficking issues, we took into consideration about what we want as youth to be doing the activities on and all this kind of thing.
So what type of activities do these events translate to?
I think Ashwini can.
First of all, for the knowledge section, there were lots of talks by distinguished guests. I was very amazed that many really, really amazing people were able to spend their time and share their experiences and their opinions about human trafficking.
When you say amazing people, who are we talking about exactly? Are we talking about, say, victims proper?
No, I'm talking about, for example, the U.S. ambassador to Malaysia, mm-hmm. Joseph Yan, who was one of the speakers who came to who shared his opinions about human trafficking.
Adriel Fernandez were there as well.
Yeah, okay.
Daniel Lowe.
Right.
Yeah. Anderson from Suka Society.
Suka Society. Many NGOs, even representative from MAPO, Ministry of Home Affairs, was there.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
So it's good that you get the buy-in from the government as well, right?
Yeah.
That's very important.
They're trying their best to, like, you know, work with the non-profit organizations after the Tier 3 whole trafficking persons report.
Right. Yeah. And after that, Ashwini, what else would you say the youth want?
What the youth want?
From these workshops.
Oh, from these workshops. I would say, before I came, I was expecting to obviously the education part, to be educated about this issue, what it really means, what the victims go through. You know, the great thing is they like those distinguished guests, they shared some of their very tragic stories with us. So that also gave me a sense of emotional attachment now to this cause. You know, so I feel like now I have. You know, I have a will or a fighting spirit for this cause. As youth, I would say it is one factor would be the knowledge. Another factor would be the sense of what we can do. You know, because many people want to do something about it. They hear all these stories and, you know, of children being trafficked just outside their neighborhood and all. At such young ages, they're being sold into prostitution and such heinous acts. But many people don't know how to react to this. You know?
And so how are the youth encouraged to react to it?
Well, first of all, I think I would suggest that your your protection is the most important. So it's important to make sure you are alert and alert the people around you about this issue and how to be safe, take the proper precautions. But I feel you shouldn't just stop there. I think, what about helping those victims who are already, you know, in those circumstances, or in fact victims who have been through the circumstances? You know, we can perhaps visit shelters where victims of trafficking are, you know, give them be a listening ear to them, you know, to their problems and all. I think we should we can also, one of the most important things is, I think, to support NGOs like Liberate and the government's efforts in order to stop human trafficking once and for all, you know, get involved in all these kind of events and talks and all being held, you know, go to Facebook pages and find out more.
All right, Sushin, how do you measure success or failure for Project Liberate? I mean, what are your KPIs internally? How do you know you're doing a good job?
Well, we, for example, like for the workshop, we give survey forms to the participants and see how much they've learned about human trafficking and what kind of things that they have learned about human trafficking. In terms of like KPIs and all those kind of things, we're not really like, you know, the experts of it, because
you're still learning yourself.
We're still learning ourselves, so we consult like the more experienced. For example, like Daniel Low has been helping us a lot on that. He's always constantly questioning us about what are the effective measures that we can do in our events. I think the facilitators of the workshop also helped a lot. Lindsay Hicks from IMX, who are previously from MTV Exit as well.
Mm-hmm.
They have taught us a lot about, you know, how do we measure all these kind of successes and failures.
Yeah. So what's next for Project Liberate after this workshop? What's the next event? What's the next step?
I think we want to do this workshop annually. In terms of the next step for Project Liberate itself, I'm not too sure yet. But of course, I think we will be doing more of like an internal check, like, you know, to make sure that everybody is educated about the issue, and we will have like a training within the own organization itself as well. So we'll be doing that first, and then we'll see how we can go on from there.
And for the both of you, I'm assuming this is something now, it's a part of your lives now, right? I'm assuming this is going to be something that you're championing, well, for the rest of your lives.
Hopefully.
yeah. I definitely want to get more involved in this, you know, beyond what I've been doing. I mean, beyond what I have been through in the conference, I want to go further and see where, how much I can make a difference. So I wanted to add that just now you asked me what the youth can also say or do if they are faced or they know human trafficking is happening. You can you should actually call to report if you're actually quite sure of human trafficking is happening around you. You can either call the main line of 999, or you can also call Tenaga Nitas helpline.
Yeah, so Tenaga Nitas helpline.
Actually, do you have the number? That would become handy.
012-335-0512.
Well, there you go. That's as much of the information you need to make a difference, folks. So if you ever spot it happening, you know what to do now. Young people doing good things. That's what we have. A bunch of 20-somethings trying to change the world. We've got Sushin and Ashwini with us. Thank you so much, ladies, for coming on the show. We've got Evanescence coming up. Bring Me to Life on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.